the last Sunday of 2025. Now, personally, I don't know about you, but I'm actually a bit of a New Year's resolution person. And I always like reflecting on the past and thinking, now, what am I going to do different this year? And I choose new beginnings or new goals, and I think, what is it going to be? One goal I had at the beginning of this year was to read the entire Bible. So 362 days ago, I started a Bible in the Year plan that would allow me to read through every chapter, verse, everything in the Bible in 1 year. I decided that I was going to be more intentional about my relationship with God. I decided that I wanted to be available to be used by Him in whatever way He wanted me. So as the year is ending, I'd love to stand up here and say that it's been one of the best, greatest years I've ever had. But I can't. To be honest, it's probably been one of the hardest years I've ever had. Lots of different things have happened that I hadn't imagined it. But in amongst it all, I have drawn closer to God, and I've been reminded of His unwavering faithfulness to me. I've been committed to my goal of reading the Bible, and I haven't wavered from my daily reading at all, and constantly touching base with God through prayer, people, and His Word. That commitment has got me through 2025, and I look back and I think God must have known what year I was going to have, and He knew the goal that I had to set myself at the beginning of the year. I can stand here today and say God is good, God is faithful, and God is real. We're about to enter our summer devotions, which is what we call them over summer. It's a devotion on a Sunday. It's supposed to be a little bit shorter than a normal sermon, but I like talking. They are entitled, Jesus Shares Our Struggles. So I want to share with you today three main points. Firstly, Jesus understands our struggles. Secondly, God is sovereign in our struggles. And thirdly, God intervenes in our struggles. And I want to sum these up in two words that are, but God. Now, remember that, but God, because it will make sense as we get through to the end. So my first point, Jesus understands our struggles. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16, it says, so then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Each of us probably at times have felt overwhelmed just by life. Jesus too experienced human weakness when he was on earth. He knew what it was like to be tired, to be hungry, to be betrayed, to be alone, to be tempted, and to be in pain. He knows what it's like to be stretched thin and even overwhelmed. So when we are feeling exhausted from work or from parenting or for caring for others, if we're juggling bills, deadlines, and different family issues, Jesus gets it. He lived in poverty. He worked hard and he faced pressure. Remember, Jesus felt times of complete fatigue and being overwhelmed. There were times he needed to just take time out and sleep. In Luke chapter 22, it says, Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. That same angel will come and strengthen us if we're just feeling totally overwhelmed and unable to go further. Jesus then prayed more fervently, and he was in such agony of spirit that his sweat fell to the ground like great drops of blood. He understands our need for rest, and he offers it. In Matthew 11, he says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." Also, Jesus understands when we're betrayed. People sometimes hurt us with words, physically, or even unintentionally. Jesus faced betrayal and suffering as well. He was betrayed by Judas. He was denied by Peter and abandoned by his closest friends. Maybe you've been let down by friends, family, or colleagues. Jesus knows that pain as well. In Matthew 26, Peter, one of his closest friends, said, "I don't know that man." On the cross, Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And this shows us also that forgiveness is actually possible even in our deepest pain. We can't forgive in our own strength though, but through the Holy Spirit we receive the grace to release that bitterness and choose love. Ephesians 4, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you." Often we might also feel guilty or broken or as if we've failed. And guilt is a terrible thing to carry around. Jesus carried our sin and shame. He bore the weight of our failures so we don't have to live in shame. So if you are struggling with anger, brokenness, addictions, or regret, remember, Jesus carried it all to the cross so that we can walk free. When we feel like we've messed up beyond repair, it's not the end. Jesus already paid for that. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, "Now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus." That condemnation is a hard word to explain. Lee and I talked about it last night, trying to come up with how would you explain what it means. The best thing we could come with, there is no blame. You're not blamed for anything. Jesus has taken it all. So Jesus understands us. Our second point, God's sovereignty in our struggles. So at times maybe you've thought, "God, why didn't you stop this? Why didn't you heal? Why didn't you give me? Why didn't?" Remember, we know God is sovereign, and he is. We know he is all-powerful, and he is. We know he is loving, and he is. So why didn't he use that sovereignty and that power and that love to stop my pain and my hardships? We have to rest in the knowledge and trust in God, not to blame him for not giving us what we think we should have. Sometimes we have to forgive God, not because he sinned, but because we need to release our bitterness and just trust in his heart. The good thing is, God can handle whatever we've got. Your anger, your questions, your hurt, give it to him with no holding back. Rest in God. And resting in God means choosing to trust his sovereignty, choosing to trust his love, and choosing to trust his all-knowing wisdom, even when life feels uncertain. He sees the beginning and the end, and nothing surprises him. When we feel overwhelmed, we can lean into his promise that he will work all things for good. His sovereignty assures us that he is in control. His love reminds us that his plans are for good, and his all-knowing nature means he understands every detail of our struggles. True rest comes when we stop striving to fix everything ourselves and instead surrender to the one who holds the universe and our lives in his hands. And my third point is God's intervention, and that's where the two words that come, "but God." The Bible is not random. It is not meaningless. It is God's story. Behind the scenes, God is working. And at the beginning with the children, we looked at four different stories. David and Goliath. David faced an impossible giant, but God gave him courage and faith. Daniel was in the lion's den. Daniel obeyed God and ended up in the pit. But God shut the lion's mouths. The Red Sea. Israel was trapped between an army chasing them and the sea. But God parted the waters. The feeding of the 5,000. There were thousands who were hungry and there was just no food and they were just sitting there. But God multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Every story has a turning point, but God. So when life feels impossible, remember, God is still writing your story. Be guided by the God of history. We need God's guidance. We have the potential to change from the events of history into a future of good. There will be challenges to be faced, just like those in the Bible faced various challenges. In Psalm 143, we read of David when he was really in a black hole. He was quite depressed and didn't know what was happening. And he said, "I sat there in despair, my spirit draining away, my heart heavy like lead." So what do we do if we're in that situation? How do we get ourselves out of a situation like that? Remember the good things. I read something recently about a jar, and I know you can, the story is that if you have a jar and every time you do something wrong, you put a dollar in it or something and you become quite wealthy. Another suggestion would be, each week, write 2 or 3 things that have been good that have happened to you in the week and put those in the jar. Then at the end of the year, pull them out and look at all the good things that happened to you over the year. Because often we focus on the bad things, not the good things. So remember those good things. Keep worshipping. Worshipping can be an oasis in difficult times. Sometimes it's the hardest thing to do, but if we, when we're going through troubles, just look to God and worship Him and thank Him. Cry out to God for help and don't be afraid to be honest and lay it all out before God and listen for God's guidance. As David said at the end of that psalm, "Show me the way I should go." And as we head into 2026 and look back over As I look back over 2025, for me, it is so encouraging to see the way that God has guided me, sometimes in ways beyond anything that I could have asked or even imagined. Psalm 32 verse 8, the Lord says, "I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you." Sometimes our way of thinking gets a little bit confused, and what we think is the best for us isn't what is the best for us, and trusting in God. So as we reflect on 2025, think of your "but God" moments and worship Him as we head into 2026, knowing that there will be more "but God" moments to come. God is sovereign, God is loving, and God is all-knowing. He sent Jesus to earth as a man so that we would have someone who understands all that we go through, both our highs and our lows. David prayed, "Show me the way I should go." So when you're feeling overwhelmed, start there. Stretch out your hands like David and seek God's guidance. Trust that He will provide courage, protection, deliverance, and provision, just like He did for David, Daniel, Israel, and the crowd on that hillside. But God. Thank you.